Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. I'm here to empower you, along with magical engineer Frank. Thanks for joining us here on Herb Talk on American Voice Radio. We got a great show. We are going to be talking about, for the first part, this overlap symptom thing, where it's really kind of sometimes hard to tell. Do I have a cold? Do I have the flu? Do I have an Ebola? Well, we're going to answer some of those questions for you in the first part of the show. And also coming up for the second part, we're going to be talking about how we can help our nervous system and also what really healthy fat can do for you. I mean, eating some healthy, certified, straight-up omega-3 fats can do to help you out. So we're going to talk about that and some other things, see how the hour rolls. And we do have a quack report But before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, or I lift them up in prayer every day. I lift up all of America. I lift you and me up. And I pray for righteousness. I pray for truth and justice in America. We're supposed to, according to Isaiah 59. So, you know, seek the Lord's face, hit the knees, and ask for these things. Ask for righteous men to be positioned in positions of power in this nation, you know, to bring this nation one back, one nation under God, you know, because we've got problems. I mean, you can just turn the news on and see the problems. So we're going to need somebody to pull the reins back, get us back on track. So I keep praying for that, and I hope you'll join me. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, what do we got in the Quacker tonight? Ooh, it says that here, let's see, this is a study that they conducted, researchers at Stanford University. They published their findings in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in October, and they said, you know, if you're taking antibiotics, it can actually make the infection Salmonella worse. That's right. Salmonella, those infections that grow rapidly, develop more severe infections for people, and it causes, you know, food poisoning. Apparently 1 million cases a year in the United States, putting 19,000 people in the hospital, and about 400 people die from Salmonella. So researchers have known for some time that people that get infected with Salmonella and they take antibiotics, they become super spreaders. They shed copious amounts of this live bacteria off, but these super spreaders, they don't actually develop any of the symptoms of the disease. So you can get a more infectious version of Salmonella when antibiotics are in the mix. Check that out. All right, moving along in the Quack Report. California's in the news. They got that drought situation. 20,000 wrong piece of report here. Here is San Diego, California's drought. And what they've done in San Diego, they've acknowledged that they're pretty parched. And their new reality is they have to embrace the once, you know, shunned idea of turning sewer water into drinking water. So the city council voted unanimously this past week to go ahead and spend $2.5 billion to recycle wastewater for drinking water. They said, we're at the end of the pipeline. We have a real problem, and the water down here is getting worse, so they have to do something. So San Diego, 1.4 million people, they have to import like 85% of their water from either the Colorado River or Northern California. Now, they did a survey in 2012, and they asked the residents of San Diego, you know, how do you feel about taking wastewater and turn it into drinking water? And back then, 1 in 4 said, okay, let's do it. But now, because of the drought and I guess the water prices going up, it's like people are saying, like, I think it's two out of three people say, yeah, let's do it. So the plan calls for recycling about 15 million gallons of water. And it'll be 83 million gallons of water by 2035. That's a third of their water supply. Orange County Water District, they're already doing it. They serve over 2.4 million people, and they're boosting their water production by recycling the water, 70 million gallons to 100 million gallons a day. So they reuse their wastewater. What they do is they force it through a treatment. They send the water through ground basins. Also, Santa Clara Valley Water District doing the same thing, 1.8 million people there. And in the San Francisco Bay Area, they decided in September to do that, to let's recycle the water. And that's how they're dealing with their drought situation. Okay, California nurses are also in the Quack Report tonight. 20,000 California nurses walked off the job Tuesday. They were protesting their working conditions at their hospitals were inadequate for protecting themselves and patients from Ebola. So the strike affected 86 hospitals and clinics that were operated by Kaiser Permanente. and two hospitals that were also run by other healthcare providers in the northern part of the state. And also the National Nurses Union was in the mix with this. And according to their spokesman, Charles Idelson, he says there's inadequate preparedness for Ebola, and it symbolizes an erosion of patient care standards generally, he says. And they said they have a lot of patient care issues that they presented to the hospital authorities, and they have stonewalled and ignored them, according to him. Now, on Wednesday, a much larger nationwide strike of the nurses included 100,000 of them in 15 states, including the District of Columbia. They walked off complaining that the facilities are ill-equipped to deal with Ebola. But Kaiser came forth and said that they brought in traveling nurses as stand-ins for the union nurses, and they maintain that they are prepared for Ebola, and they've been prepared since October, and the concerns that the union is raising are invalid. So Kaiser says the hospitals are all well prepared to deal with an Ebola crisis. Okay. I'm hoping, you know, in case it happens, I hope it don't. Last but not least in the Quack Report, cars of the future, you know, safety issue when you get in a car, right? It's a risk every time you climb in one of them things. But people just don't think about it. It's every day now. And you just don't think about what could happen. But now with the emerging technology, it is influencing the future of our automobiles. So get ready for algorithms to be able to help your car anticipate your needs and even manage even small transactions that you normally take care of in your daily lives. What? Oh, yeah. The cars of the future are going to have an intuitive interface. Don't you like that term? They're going to read your mind. If you're driving past some sort of historic landmark, you're going to be able to pull up instantly information about that. Or how about this? If you're running late, right, the car is going to adapt and understand your circumstance, and it's going to integrate an experience through audio recognition. In other words, you know, you're going to be able to say, hey, I'm running late for an appointment, and the car is going to say, I've got it under control. No worries. I've got it. And I like this one. The car is going to be a nanny for your kids. Apparently, if you're driving down the road and your kids are like, you know, screaming in the back seat, the car is going to know what to do. It's going to switch to a program, taking away any loud music and putting in its place a trivia game or even telling your kids a joke to distract them. So it's going to be the intuitive interface of the car to even say, you know, I Spy, or, you know, one of those road games that usually families play. So it's going to bring that up to kind of distract the children's attention and keep them occupied. Don't you like that? So car computer displays, they say, and their operating systems are going to be similar to the Xbox Kinect. Anybody informed about Xbox? I guess they'll know what to do with their car. Old folks like me, you know, let me just get a Model T. I'll just drive that. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Holy cow. Okay, so we're going to be talking about some symptoms, and a lot of times what you have, you know, all these little symptoms you have can overlap, and, you know, you may have a question as to what it is you have. You know, this time of year, you know, people pick up a lot of cold and flu pathogens, and in many cases it can be kind of hard to determine if you have a common cold or some sort of subtype influenza strain. So when is just a cold more than a cold? Well, there seems to be an overlap of symptoms for cold and flu bugs, and some symptoms are considered nonspecific by modern medicine, and they tend to fall into the viral category, which is Greek for we don't know what you have. So there are so many different types of viruses that medicine won't know what kind you have without doing some extensive testing. You know, people aren't going to pay for that. So influenza basically is from your virus family. And these days, the mention of flu has people kind of speculating if they have more than just a common flu bug. So according to Dr. William Schaffner, I like that name, Schaffner, don't you like that name? Well, he's at the Department of Preventative Medicine at Vanderbilt Medical School, and he's in Tennessee, and he says we should not be overly concerned unless the flu puts us flat on our back in bed. Well, that makes some sense, because if you had the average flu virus, you know, you usually can get out of bed, you could use the bathroom, brew a cup of tea, do some basic hygiene. But if you can't do those things, then it's maybe time to seek out some answers and some help. So you know that the cold and flu season has arrived when the humidity drops, for this is the time the cold and flu viruses thrive, and they are more prevalent, basically. Well, let's look at some common symptoms. You're probably very, very, very familiar with them. But most of us have experienced many times the symptoms of a cold and a virus, and we... if we pay really close attention, we can understand ourselves and tell if we have a virus or even a bacterial infection. If you're really paying close attention, you know when you feel like you got a virus. Now, when it comes to the viruses, the symptoms tend to include the respiratory area, you know, like your nose, your throat, your breathing. So viruses like to invade these areas of our body. So here's a general dividing line between a cold and a flu. The cold offers milder symptoms than the flu, okay? So the flu usually has a fever over 102 degrees. The flu comes with chills and intense fatigue. The flu has muscle aches and phlegm. The flu often comes with severe headache. It also comes with nausea and a lack of appetite. And the flu can usher in bacterial infections like pneumonia. So children tend to get an average of 8 to 10 colds or viruses each year. And most childhood colds and viruses are, you know, cleared if they have a healthy immune system within 1 or 2 weeks. So as we get older, our immune system should have established some immunity along with the way that these pathogens are built. So we have a natural built-in immunity to them. Therefore, adults, you know, tend to experience fewer than three infections a year. And usually our immune systems are strong enough to clear them in about 7 days. But here's some of the red flags we should know about. Most health experts will offer this general guideline when an illness is getting out of hand and could be potentially serious. If the fever is lasting more than 7 days, if the fever goes away and then comes back, if you develop a rash, if symptoms worsen within 10 to 14 days, and there's a loss of mobility or consciousness, okay? So physicians are more suspicious of spring or summer colds or flu, as they tend to be more infectious, like a pneumonia case. Colds like to migrate and can create bronchitis and pneumonia in a very short time, and this complication also is typical of having a weaker immune system. All right, let's talk about some of the high-risk groups for the cold and flu. People that suffer from diabetes, heart disease, and respiratory conditions like asthma, COPD, they're at a greater risk of contracting bacterial infections from colds and flu. Pregnant women, people over the age of 50, people with autoimmune disease or have HIV and AIDS, and people in hospitals, nursing homes, and long-term care facilities are also at a higher risk of infection. So medical doctors do not typically treat cold or flu symptoms unless the patient's symptoms are they've been around longer than 10 days or more, and maybe more serious symptoms have been more evident. So they often recommend, you know, just use some over-the-counter decongestants or pain relievers and cough suppressants. There are other options that they offer patients are antiviral drugs and flu vaccines. However, it's the official opinion of many health experts that vaccines don't prevent disease. All right, and then there's the viral ghost. Let's talk about fooled by the ghost. Now, with the Ebola virus spreading all over the news outlets. People are kind of anxious about any flu symptom. Now, recently, medical experts were fooled by the false negative on the Ebola virus test given to Dr. Martin Salia of Nebraska. He contracted Ebola while he was in West Africa treating Ebola patients, and he came down with the flu symptoms. He was tested for Ebola there, and the results came back as negative. Co-workers were relieved, so they removed their protective gear, and now they are all under a quarantine watch. So Dr. Salia's symptoms persisted, his condition deteriorated, and he was finally transported back to the United States, and he died, unfortunately, a short time later. So how could this have happened? How could the test show a negative for Ebola when he was clearly infected? Well, the Journal of Clinical Microbiology can clear this mystery up. They reported, get this, in November 2002, that the blood test for hemorrhagic fevers can give a false negative despite the high viral RNA concentrations in the plasma sample. So the medical researchers in this report stress the importance of the medical staff should perform a test of a duplicate blood sample to detect substances that are inhibitory. So when they test the blood for inhibitory substances, it reveals the presence of the virus. So medical researchers call this the inhibition phenomena. So the virus can hide like a ghost and give a negative reading when, in fact, the infection is there. They report that this is the case in testing blood for early or even late-stage hemorrhagic fevers, and therefore they urge caution and the requirement of testing the duplicate sample. Well, let's talk about additional risks. Now, some of the top doctors in the United States and West Africa have said that strong immune systems in healthy people are able to combat the Ebola virus. So if you're anemic, if you have an eating disorder like anorexia, you're malnourished, or you have a disease which weakens the body like asthma, emphysema, COPD, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, kidney disease, and so forth, then Ebola is going to be a strong adversary to beat. So prescribed medications used to manage such disease will also weaken the liver and other internal organs, so be aware. And flu vaccines can further increase the risk by contracting the disease, crippling the immune system, and creating life-threatening and lifelong allergic reactions. So be aware of that. And we're moving into the holidays. Yes, yes, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you know what happens with that? Yep, yep. We have more dietary issues to be concerned about. You know, people eat more sweets. And I say, okay, I want you to start thinking, mindset change. Think more joy, less sugar, okay? A lot of misery is at the hand of man himself. And when we fail to follow some simple and healthy dietary steps to protect our body from disease, we put ourselves at risk. So the holiday season is a time when dietary restrictions, well, they just go out the window, and people consume a lot more sugar. So eating too much sugar is going to disable the immune system for long periods of time, and that leaves you defenseless against the colds and flu viruses. So eating too much sugar can affect memory. It can lead to a change in your mood and depression. Also, sugar overload leads you to overeating. So the average American child, you know, they just came through a sugar holiday called Halloween, and then within weeks we're here in Thanksgiving and then Christmas with more sugar items. So it's really easy to see why, you know, 8 colds a year is pretty average for a child in the United States. Now, during the holiday season, it's easy for us to consume at least 22 teaspoons of sugar a day. That's like over half a cup of sugar each day. That's more than 4 times the limit. Now, if you're having one soda contains a half a cup of sugar per serving. Now, according to Stephen Guinette, he's a PhD and he's author of Why Do We Overeat? Well, you know, his answer is, you know, people will gain one-third of their annual body weight during the holidays, and most will never shed all those extra pounds. So weight gain is usually added on gradually, but it spikes during the holiday weeks. According to Dr. Guinette, the annual six-week holiday period each year is when most people gain one-third more body weight. Now, let me back up just a little bit and talk one more time about this sugar thing. Sugar can actually paralyze your immune system for hours and can increase your risk of inflammatory responses. So you may not realize how much sugar you are consuming at a holiday get-together. Refreshments of soda or alcohol, they can have a third of a cup or to half a cup of sugar. The average soda is 20 teaspoons of sugar. And this can suppress your immune system within just 30 minutes of consuming it by about 40 to 75% for 8 hours. So studies have shown that just 75 to 100 grams or 2.5 to 3.5 ounces of sugar is enough to suppress your immune system. In addition to the sweet beverages, you're going to snack on a lot of carbohydrates that convert to sugar. So add an entree with a dinner roll, maybe some dessert cocktail, pie, and cake. There's more sugar, and before you know it, you've had more sugar in one meal that you would normally consume in a month. Okay, so be aware of that. So my advice, and this is just how I live, I try to keep things simple. Watch and limit the food and drink over the holidays and keep the sugar intake down and your immune system switched on. Okay, most people know their bodies better than anyone, and with a little patience, you can tell if you're catching a cold or a little viral bug or something more serious. Okay, so use common sense and defend yourself this winter with your immune system enhancing herbs. So the nutrition in your immune boosting herbs are going to contain some natural vitamin C and some zinc, and this will assist your immune system. So if you have a concern about the Ebola virus, then you might want to take the advice of the Texas University Medical Branch and tap into the isoflavin that they discovered, which is a natural hemorrhagic fever inhibitor. It's called gigenistine. And that will strengthen your defenses. Now, you're going to find gigenistine in red clover and American ginseng, as well as in gentian root. An American Apothecary Herbs has these American harvested certified organic herbs because they specialize in immune boosting, of course. So you can call and order some gentian root, American ginseng, and even their popular pandemic kit. Now, for prevention, I like to use their Three Amigos pack or their all-in-one tonic. And you can use a lot of their echinacea formulas to even shorten the duration of a cold or flu to just a few days. Who needs to suffer for weeks when you can just cut it short, right? So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You can even ask about their cold and flu package, which has a little bit of everything for boosting your immune system. They have a toll-free number. Their number is 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. Their website is thepowerherbs.com. You can get there typing in herbtalklive.com, too. But thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Taking a break. We'll be right back with more.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Double 07, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live, and we're going to be talking about, you know, getting some what I call healthy certified fat into the diet, and it helps you manage weight and lose the unhealthy fat. So if you consume a lot of healthy fat, it's really going to help you with the omega-6 fatty acids that are unhealthy. So we're going to cover that. And, you know, because it's really, especially during the holiday season, you know, it's easy to consume what I call artificial fats, a lot of sweet things, and quickly pick up that third of your weight within just 6 weeks of the holiday season. So, and people run the risk of becoming obese with a lot of these artificial unhealthy fats and even developing type 2 diabetes. So we want to stay within the healthy prisms of living. We want real whole foods, in other words. And it's interesting because in 1880, there were only 2.8 cases of diabetes for every 100,000 people. By the 1949, the rates jumped to 30 out of 100,000 people. So back then, there was really no distinction between a type 2 or type 1 diabetes because it was all just called diabetes. So currently, we have about 10 to 20% of the world population being diabetic and on some sort of medication. That's like 1.39 billion people. So let's talk about some of this you know, eating and staying away from these artificial foods that can create these types of problem, because the solution is within your reach. You have the power. According to some new research that came out of Indiana, scientists there, Susan Swithers at Purdue University, she said they were testing some rats. They fed them some high-fat diets, then the rats. Then they had some rats that they gave some low-calorie, low-fat diet foods. And those foods contain, you know, the artificial fat, the sugar substitutes, and all that. Now, actually, the rats on the low-fat, low-calorie diet gained more weight much faster than the rats on the regular high-fat diet. So those on the low-fat diets with the artificial ingredients are more likely to become obese and develop diabetes, according to the research. Now, a recent interview with David DalSalvo, he's the author of What Makes Your Brain Happy and Why You Should Do the Opposite, he revealed that these fake foods create a metabolic havoc in your body. He says that our brain is duped with the artificial fats and sweeteners, which tend to trigger a biological response. So if we eat real fat and real sugar, it will set off a chain reaction. You know, you have some salivation going on, you got some hormonal reactions, and your digestion kicks in. And the body is anticipating some, you know, real calories from this real fat and this real sugar. But when this nutrition doesn't materialize in the fake substitutes, the brain tends to freak out, he says. It triggers what is called the starvation mode. And it wants to convert calories into fat and store it. So the brain is wired to react to your taste and to the controls and chemicals and hormones metabolically associated with all of that. So there is no way to change your brain setting from taste to, you know, have your cake and eat it too. There's just no way of doing that. So let's look at some of the culprit foods. So I want you to check your ingredient labels, and you should avoid the foods that will make you overweight and diabetic. These foods contain olestra and aspartame and will actually make you crave starchy sweets. Now, these ingredients have been shown to interfere with the human body's ability to regulate food intake and to metabolize the nutrition. In other words, these ingredients will encourage you to overeat and to eat empty calories, thereby putting you on the fast track to looking like a sumo wrestler. And scientists have known that artificial sweeteners confuse your nutrient receptors into thinking, you know, you got some real sugar and it's being supplied to the body, but it's not. So the body's unable to metabolize the fake sugar, and so it just stores it as fat. So to give you an idea how widespread this food conspiracy is, you might want to read your labels and look for the following products. Pringles potato chips, margarine, non-dairy creamers, Cool Whip, soft serve ice cream, breads, Fiber One cereal, popcorn, light fat-free yogurt, light orange juice, and Quaker snack bars, all going to have these artificial fats in them. And also watch out for your MSG, the monosodium glutamate. That was developed by a chemist in Japan to make sumo wrestlers really fat. And what it does is makes food, enhances the flavor of food, and you eat more, and you store it as fat, but it slows the metabolism down. So you're eating more, and it slows. You're not burning it. And so this is why the sumo wrestlers gained a lot of weight really quickly, made the emperor happy. All right, let's talk about some real things. You want to set your own controls on your metabolism and work with them, basically. You know, these re-engineered foods can lead you down the road to difficult times physically. So instead, you might want to try eating some foods that will give you the appropriate brain response, provides the nutrition that helps keep your weight in check. And these foods are going to be whole grains, organic meats, and fruits and vegetables. It's simple. It's not rocket science. And it doesn't have any of these prepackaged foods in there. There's no potato chips in there. And if you're going to have popcorn, get organic popcorn and pop it. None of this hybrid GMO stuff. Now, we have some re-engineered foods, and it really isn't to prevent starvation like we're told, okay? It's not to prevent spoilage like we've been told. These fake foods are do have an extended shelf life, but they're intended for one thing and one thing only. It's for profit. That's it. So these profits come from they come at your expense, basically. So when something doesn't seem right and when it's not natural, your little radar should be going off, okay? So you just have to follow the money, and that's the root of all evil, isn't it? So there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof, it's a way of death. That's Proverbs 16. You know, and those people that have no God, that's not good, right? So it's possible that the development of all this extended shelf life in these foods that we've invented is also creating new diseases like the type 2 diabetes. Now, the first attempt at making margarine, for example, was in 1869, a Frenchman, and he called it palatable table fat, yummy. And it was a combination of seasoned, gypsum, mashed potatoes, bleach, gelatin, and hog fat. Wow. So it was introduced to America as margarine in 1874, but nobody liked it. It didn't taste good. Now, processed oils also came on the scene in 1899 when David Wesson Oil, introduced cottonseed oil. It was a cheap alternative to olive oil for cooking, and it was, it's pretty much taken its toll on our health and many lives. The FDA should ban it from the market as it is full of pesticides. Now, too many Americans have a love affair with their potato chips and their fried chicken and a lot of junk foods, and it's full of this processed oil. So in 1903, the hydrogenated oils hit the market. It's a patented process and was invented by William Norman. It turned unsaturated fatty acids to saturated fats. So the floodgates of adulterated foods were swung wide open and more artificial oils were produced. So Crisco and trans fatty acids, for example, are the result. So three and four generations later, we're, you know, beginning to see the results. The effects of these artificial fats, these artificial sweeteners and oils that are not, you know, were not immediately obvious, but they are now. Now, pets are also showing obese pets because people are giving them scraps from the table. And the other thing is, if pets and insects refuse to eat foods that may have some of these ingredients because they sense they're, you know, not healthy, you know, why would we want to eat them? You know, smart pets won't eat them, won't touch them with a 10-foot pole. So you have to wonder, you know, people have a lot of digestive problems. They have high cholesterol, high blood pressure. They have dry skin, cardiovascular issues, asthma, arthritis, all these ailments. And you have to wonder, you know, is it because of their diet? Most of it is. So if they switch off of these fake oils and fake fats and fake sweeteners, they seem to improve. Now, one teaspoon of olive oil, it contains about 120 calories, 14 grams of healthy fat. The fat is monounsaturated. It's not going to be stored as fat by the body. And the people of Greece, Italy, Spain, they all know their health benefits. There are lots of them when they use olive oil. And these countries have been using it for years. They have the lowest statistics in heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So our ancient ancestors also used olive oil. They used it to heal wounds. The oil was excellent for skin problems. Not only is olive oil metabolized correctly by our bodies, but it also lubricates mucous membranes and the joints. So the antioxidants that they have located in olive oil is even a greater benefit than even vitamin E. So this oil, I think, is a must, especially if you are suffering from things like diabetes and arthritis. And that's according to a journal in the September 2003 American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So basically, you are in a driver's seat. You have a whole lot of control with just what you put in your mouth, your diet. Now, medical science would have you believe that diet really doesn't play a whole big role in genetics and your health in regards to, you know, your situation, your diagnostic exams. And science really allows the food industry to kind of run amok. And, of course, now we have GM foods to worry about. As growing up, that wasn't even on the radar. So nutrition does affect your DNA. And for the food and drug companies, they wouldn't be developing products which influence enzymes that switch off and on specific receptors in your body. That's what food can do, too. So everything that we do has an effect, good or bad. So it is, I think, disrespectful to our Creator God when we tamper with His perfect design and we think we can reinvent the wheel and improve on it. So if you try to eat foods in their original package, skipped all that processing stuff, you're just going to do so much better. So instead of, you know, a lot of filtered and artificially sweetened apple juice, eat an apple. And it's well known, if you eat an apple with the skin, a lot of pectin in the skin, it's good roughage, eat an apple a day, by the end of a year, you would have lost 10 pounds. Just eating an apple a day. So lots of energy and enzymes you can get from real whole foods like that. All right, so do you remember Colonel Sanders from KFC, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken? He had a real successful marketing campaign. You know, he stated that he used only whole ingredients in his original recipe. Well, I say, you know, let's just go with God's original recipe. You know, these whole foods that he designed, they're simple. And more importantly, you know, they have the perfect chemistry that he designed for them. So avoid the processed foods which have artificial fat and artificial sweeteners, and they've stripped away all the intended nutrition that were in there, because that's what makes things go rancid, all the healthy oil. See? So check that out. Try the Mediterranean diet. Easy transfer from your American diet you're now on. You won't even miss it. It's easy to go from one to the other, and you'll do yourself a world of good. Easy ingredients to find and make. Quick meals. There's tons of recipe books out there for international cooking, and of course, you know, the Mediterranean diet, and it's not going to break the bank, right? So, I mean, otherwise, you know, you're going to be chucking down foods void of vitamins, void of minerals, void of amino acids, and you're going to be on, you know, antacids because you're not getting any of that digestive enzyme nutrition. So you are in the driver's seat. Take back the power and do yourself a world of good, especially this holiday season. This is the perfect time to test your willpower, right? Perfect time. That's right. Okay, I promised to talk about nervous system. I got a few minutes. And I guess next week we'll kind of fit in some inflammation issues. And, you know, this time of year, people are developing gout and all kinds of problems with inflammation and things. And there's a lot to talk about with inflammation and how it can lead to more serious problems. So we're going to get to that next Tuesday, right before Turkey Day. Okay, so we've got dozens of nervous system diseases that people come down with, you know, the nerves, the brain, the spinal cord. Health authorities say that a lot of the unknown causes are, they're unknown causes, but then again, they seem to be, you know, kind of real close to a vaccine sometimes. So the list of nervous system diseases like Alzheimer's, sclerosis, Bell's palsy, brain cancer, brain tumors, epilepsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, meningitis, macular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis, Parkinson's disease, headaches, stroke. I mean, the list keeps going. So yeah, something has to be prompting an avalanche of these types of nervous system breakdowns for this to occur. Let's see if we can't shed some light on that. First of all, let's talk about the Guillain-Barré. This disease usually affects about 1 in 100,000 people, but experts in and outside of the health industry are bracing for an increase, actually, in these numbers of this syndrome because of the increased uptick in vaccines. The UK is already tracking these cases, and more healthcare workers are tracing the disease to the flu vaccinations. So, of course, health authorities and governments want more data before they change anything. So that means this year, next year's flu vaccine will come and go. Vaccines will continue and put people possibly at risk. So why should everyone that has a sound mind, you know, be concerned? Well, the disease is pretty serious and has some sudden and unexpected, it has an unexpected onset. So you can wake up one morning and feel perfectly fine, and by lunch you could have paralysis and have difficulty breathing. And the disease is it's a medical emergency, so you won't know what hits you, basically. And most anyone can hope for in allopathic medicine after someone's been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré is only a partial recovery. So this disease does not care what age, what sex you are, and it occurs after a viral infection, ergo flu vaccines. Okay, so medical textbooks have listed that pregnancy, surgery, and vaccination are the big triggers for this disease. Now, according to science, the body's immune system, they say, is the scapegoat. It's not really. It's what you did to instigate an immune response. Initially, treatment will be to stabilize the patient through, you know, respirators, heart machines, other monitoring equipment. And then they'll have plasma apheresis, which is a blood purification procedure where the plasma is removed from the body and it's treated for an autoimmune response. And then the plasma, which is your water, salt, and protein mix, makes up half of your blood form. That's going to be purified. And they also use immunoglobulin therapy, and they tinker around with your white blood cells, and they deal with the side effects from all that tinkering, more drugs, of course. And, of course, the infection could cause damage to lungs, kidneys, give you blood clots, all kinds of allergic reactions. It's a mess, okay? It's just a mess. Now, what they do is they use drugs to try to cure these nervous system breakdowns. Now, my herb professor once said it's kind of similar to believing that a gasoline additive will fix a worn-out carburetor. That's the thinking behind allopathic medicine there. So if you have any of these nervous system diseases, you're going to need pretty much a complete overhaul, but you're going to need it by using natural therapies. So you're going to need to do, you know, a combination of health therapies. You're going to have to really supercharge the system with natural nutrition from vegetables, citrus, do some hydrotherapy, body massage, some cleanses, organ cleanses, immune boosting, of course, to balance your immune system. Because the immune system's responding properly. It's just that you've done something to make it look like the your body is the culprit, is the bad guy. So it's like retraining a dog who is the master. All right. So a lot of times you could do other therapies that they use in Europe, like cold sheet treatments, using some nerve herbs, castor oil packs. So there's a lot that can be done. Now, before medical textbooks labeled these nervous system diseases as basically immune abnormalities, and that was back in 1994. So natural healers already approached the recovery from the diseases through balancing the immune system response. So even though medicine is treating the disease's symptoms via the immune system cells in the blood, they're undermining the process in that approach. So the immune system is under attack and in turn is going to attack the body. So what the body really needs is an alarm clock on the nerves, not as sedatives. Now, some herbs that will help are oat seed, celery seed, skullcap, lavender, coffee bean, kola nut. These herbs tend to wake up or rebuild and restore nerves, sending electrical impulses to your brain, heart, muscles, and lungs. And some immune balancers are also very effective. So you want to... immune system stimulating and balancing herbs are also going to be used, and most certainly in aggressive doses. So things like echinacea root, astragalus root, Siberian ginseng, parda arco, inner bark, and your good old garlic. Okay, so these are fresh herbs. If you're going to use them, hot white onion, ginger root, horseradish, garlic, and real hot cayenne is also going to be very beneficial. So aggressive doses under normal conditions, an average dose may be 30 to 60 drops of a tincture, but you're going to use 3 to 6 times that. So we don't really fool around when the system is under attack. We tend to up the ante a little bit and get aggressive. Nerves are going to need to have constant feeding of this type of super nutrition to help them repair. And so most often, patients will go through a bottle of herb tincture per day. And that's just what it takes. So you don't want to make the mistake of giving nervine herbs. They tend to be antispasmodic in nature and more of a sedative. So you don't want to use that for these type of nervous system issues. So you want to, you know, avoid the valerian root, the passion flower, the wood botany, the hops, and those kind of things. And get some organic B vitamins into the system because central nervous system lives on that. So make sure they're not synthetic B vitamins. And nutritional yeast, it's non-fermented. You can find that just about everywhere. It's also in the Body Foundation food mix. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. They also have an immune system balancer formula as well. So you can check that out online at thepowerherbs.com the next time you're there. And don't forget to sign up for their free online newsletters and get informed so you'll have information from the newsletters each and every week to empower you further. And I see by the clock we're just about out of time, so I'll be back Tuesday, right before Turkey Day. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well. Oh, that is.